Many messengers had been sent out by Thingol to seek Turin within Doriath and in the lands near its borders. But in the year of his flight they searched for him in vain, for none knew or could guess that he was with the outlaws and enemies of men. When winter came on, they returned to the king, save Beleg only. After all others had departed, still he went on alone. But in Dimbar and along the north marches of Doriath, things had gone ill. The dragon helm was seen there in battle no longer, and the strong bow also was missed. And the servants of Morgoth were heartened, and increased ever in numbers and in daring. Winter came and passed, and with spring their assault was renewed. Dimbar was overrun, and the men of Brethil were afraid, for evil roamed now upon all their borders, save in the south. It was now almost a year since Turin had fled, and still Beleg sought for him with ever-lessening hope. He passed northwards in his wanderings to the crossings of Teglin, and there, hearing ill news of a new inroad of orcs out of Taur Nufuin, he turned back and came, as it chanced, to the homes of the woodmen, soon after Turin had left that region. There he heard a strange tale that went among them. A tall and lordly man, or an elf warrior, some said, had appeared in the woods, and had slain one of the Gaurwaith, and rescued the daughter of Larnach, whom they were pursuing. "Very proud he was," said Larnach's daughter to Beleg, "with bright eyes, that scarcely deigned to look at me. Yet he called the wolf-men his fellows, and would not slay another that stood by, and knew his name. Nathan he called him." "Can you read this riddle?" asked Larnach of the elf. "I can, alas," said Beleg. "The man that you tell of is one whom I seek." No more of Turin did he tell the woodmen, but he warned them of evil gathering northward. "Soon the orcs will come ravening in this country, in strength too great for you to withstand," he said. "This year, at last, you must give up your freedom or your lives. Go to Brethil while there is time." Then Beleg went on his way in haste, and sought for the lairs of the outlaws, and such signs as might show him whither they had gone. These he soon found. But Turin was now several days ahead, and moved swiftly, fearing the pursuit of the woodmen, and he had used all the arts that he knew to defeat or mislead any that tried to follow him. He led his men westward, away from the woodmen and from the borders of Doriath, until they came to the northern end of the great highlands that rose between the vales of Sirion and Narog. There the land was drier, and the forest ceased suddenly on the brink of a ridge. Below it could be seen the ancient south road, climbing up from the crossings of Teiglin to pass along the western feet of the moorlands on its way to Nargothrond. There, for a time, the outlaws lived warily, remaining seldom two nights in one camp, and leaving little trace of their going or staying. So it was that even Beleg hunted them in vain. Led by signs that he could read, or by the rumour of the passing of men among the wild things with whom he could speak, he came often near, but always their lair was deserted when he came to it, for they kept a watch about them by day and night, and at any rumour of approach they were swiftly up and away. "Alas," he cried, "too well did I teach this child of men craft in wood and field. An elvish band almost one might think this to be." But they, for their part, became aware that they were trailed by some Talis pursuer whom they could not see and yet could not shake off, and they grew uneasy